Welcome, welcome all to the show. I'm your host, Sully, and as always, here to talk with me about some heavy metal is YouTuber Oreo Brewer. How are you, buddy?
Tired as hell.
Tired as hell. Just like these artists. I'm talking about freaking Megadeth. The baby child of bassist, author, and entrepreneur Dave Effelson, and guitarist and vocalist Dave Mustaine from a little-known band formed around that same time known as Metallica.
It's Metallica.
Metallica. Yeah. I'm sure someone told him that joke and he probably got in a bar fight with him.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
It's Metallica, sure. You asshole.
Metallica, don't you be talking shit about me. I know our last album wasn't all that, but fuck you, man. Fuck you. So they are considered part of the big four of not only Metallica, but also Anthrax and Slayer. Expanded on the typical metal blueprint by speeding up the tempos and putting an emphasis on lightning fast technical guitar skills. According to AllMusic. So take their word for it, not mine. I've been digging their whole The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead, which had some appearances by Sammy Hagar and Ice-T. You know, body.
I listened to the Night Killer. Yeah, it was Night Killers. I liked it like the first three times, and I was like, this is kind of boring.
It's very, very different. And I kind of feel like, much like Metallica, they're in nostalgia mode. I just kind of dug the music video because it was so Predator Surviving the Game inspired. giant creature with lasers coming after him. I'm like, come on. That's a total still. I like a lot of their just various 80s, 90s, and 2000s compilations. If I just had to ask, you know, just mention various ones, Chosen Ones, Insomnia, Into the Lungs of Hell, 99 Ways to Die, Symphony of Destruction, A Tout de Monte is on my playlist, Skin of My Teeth, The Right to Go Insane.
You got Never Dead?
Never. It should be on there. Yeah, Gears of War, Never Walk Alone, A Call to Arms, No More Mr. Nice Guy, Symphony of Destruction, Skin of My Teeth. I just mentioned that. I'll Get Even, The Disintegrators, Almost Honest, Wrecker, Public Enemy Number One.
Yes.
New World Order, Never Dead, Devil's Island, Trust, and Tornado of Souls, The Scorpion, Black Metal, The Universe, I Know Jack, Something That I'm Not, Enter the Arena, Set the World Afire, Into My Darkest Hour, Return to the Hangar, This Was My Life, High Speed Dirt, Breakpoint, Paranoid, United Abominations, Crowns of Worms, Psychotron. Okay, I'm sure I've bored everyone else. Suddenly, that's the last one. How about you? How about you, my man? How did you come into them and say, hey, they are worthy of my time? Were you raised on them, or were you like me, where you came into it much later, but you were just like, hey, you know, there's a reason this is classic metal. You know, this shit writes itself.
Yeah, that's true. I think I came into it with my stepdad, because he's a massive metalhead. He loves Iron Maiden the most. And you know, he listened to Maiden, Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer. And I didn't really get into Megadeth until, like, my first introduction to them was Angry Again. Easy classic.
Angry Again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I got into their future work when that came out down the road.
Nice.
Yeah. But I their music comes and goes on my iPhone. Like, I'll keep it, and it's like, I don't hear this shit anymore. I need to hear it again. And then you hear it again, and it's like, oh, there's a deeper fucking message here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so for movie soundtracks, obviously I heard their cover of No More Mr. Nice Guy and Shocker.
I remember that. I love Shocker.
Yeah, Shocker's fun. I definitely remember Angry Again from Last Action Hero. And
That's an easy one.
Crush 'Em and Universal Soldier 2 The Return. For the rest of you, you might have heard their songs, Diadems and Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight, Breakpoint and Super Mario Brothers. And
wait, Danny, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I was kidding. They're featured my Darkest Hour in the documentary The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. They were Light and Color was even featured on a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode. So. A Secret Place is on Strangeland, and they've been featured on other episodes of Beavis and Butthead, Black Scorpion, and even video games like Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, and True Crime Streets of L.A. So,
and Never Dead, that was very surprising. It's the title of the fucking game and the soundtrack. That video was beautiful. I was like, this is so cool. Yeah.
Whatever you gotta do. But yeah, the Danny Saber remix of Almost Honest, that was on Mortal Kombat 2. So probably the best part about that. Go to Hell was in Bill and Ted Bogus Journey. So.
Jesus.
I'm just glad they're still kicking, because you know, unlike Motorhead and some of these other ones where it's like, man, they're gone, so no more new music.
Yeah, that's true. It really sucks too, because you would think that, you know, just because you lose a lead singer, that doesn't necessarily mean death of a fucking
band. The internet's more toxic now, though, too. Like, after seeing this whole outcry with Lord of the Rings, and it's like, I was just like, okay, it's a different adaptation. It's been 10 years later. It's by the Tolkien estate. This is whole so different from a typical.
I haven't even watched it yet.
I'm digging it so far. It's a whole different oyster. It's literally trying to do everything. It's showing a few nods to the movies, and it's also going deeper than even the books try to do. And it just seems like the internet's just not having it. That they want blood for anything, and it just seems like anything that you do, especially if it. That's veering into movies and TV, but I counter it much like with music. It just seems like whatever you do, if a band, I hate the new guitars, I hate the new vocalists, fuck this, sellouts. It seems like you get even more of that. It's just,
why are you wearing that t-shirt? It's not the right shade of black.
Right, I hate how you look. How dare you be different because you're a different person? Yeah, it's toxicity to the max, my dude. Is like my you want to talk different genres. My dad got teased by his college buddies when Michael McDonald took over in the Doobie Brothers, and I loved all eras of Van Halen, and I know that's a hot topic. David Lee Roth. It just seems like whatever you do, you have wronged us off with your head.
So dumb. One of the best mashups I've listened to was, and these are random people putting shit together, best one I listened to was Eminem and Linkin Park, and that was a good blend.
I imagine. I've just seen the video where they're Linkin Park's playing, and all of a sudden Chris Cornell comes onto stage and starts singing with him.
No, I didn't see that.
It's hypnotic, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I mean, there's so many fun mashups, and I love the live events because there's always a surprise guest.
Yeah, them live events are a trip.
Oh man, but I guess it's hard to describe their signature style. I mean, much like Motorhead, I kind of just get the whole general gist of they paint a cool portrait of hell, and then
go political and then come back to angry.
Kinda, yeah. And like Dream Theater, they clearly have a big, you know, they can do an orchestra if you want to, and they're just heavy as fuck. And it's so wild how they toured, the big four of them, with Anthrax, Slayer, and Metallica, toured in 2010.
I saw that. That was cool seeing them do Am I Evil. That was so fucking cool. Oh. Beautiful. I was like, damn, all them drums, all them kits set up, And they're all in unison. That was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
That's great.
Yep.
Oh, man. So as of this recording, won't give I'm away. Pregnant. Well, Junior 2, Oreo is pregnant. Okay. Dave Mustaine was just kind of going on a rant on one of those heavy metal coverage sites talking about how he wanted to remind everyone, I am the founder. He's like, okay, I guess I believe you.
Well, some people forget. And you got to remember, you got a whole new generation coming into the music. So
this dude's just kind of a badass. He just earned a BJJ brown belt at 61 years old.
Oh my god.
Nice. And he shared it on the social media so he can remind everyone, I can kick your fucking ass.
Awesome.
Oh man. Yeah, so now I'm disappointed. He needs to be in a kung fu movie where he's a sensei or something.
Well, I mean,
Cobra Kai season 5.
I mean, if you really want to see a live action Dave Mustaine, just watch Chris Jericho on AEW.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Chris Jericho is a badass with Fozzy. Fozzy released a new single recently, his metal band. That's right. For those who don't know, Jericho is both a rock heavy metal singer and a wrestler and just a funny, funny dude.
And looks like Dave Mustaine in wrestling.
You know, do it. Do the Dave Mustaine story starring Chris Jericho. It might actually get applause. I mean, if they can have Daniel Radcliffe as freaking Weird Al, do Chris Jericho. So Mustaine, according to BloodyElbow.com, is a longtime public advocate for martial arts. He holds black belts in Aikido Dan, Karate, Songhai Taekwondo, and the World Taekwondo Federation.
Wow.
He stands among fellow high-profile musician grapplers such as Five Finger Death Punch, Zoltan Bathory, and Hatebreed's Chris Beatty. And he said in his brown belt announcement post, behind every mountain is more mountains.
Accurate. He ain't wrong.
So, any other just thoughts on why this dude's a badass?
I don't know, man. I mean, Dave is going to be Dave. I mean, that's cool that he knows all these different moves and shit. That's awesome.
Show your moves. Just like Falcon Hunt. Super mm-hmm. Mario Brothers.
Yep. It's like I was in Goodwill yesterday getting some shit and I saw.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Goodwill. And I looked at the hockey sticks, and instantly in my head, I hear 2 minutes for high stick, and I'm like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Fucking Casey Jones.
Wow.
I know. I'm that in tune with pop culture. I'm like, wow. I can't go nowhere without seeing some pop culture reference pop up in my head and not even think about it. Damn.
I haven't heard any scandals about them. I'm sure they got stories, but I haven't heard anything that's just crazy where it's like, we're canceling you. Red Hot Chili Pepper style.
No, canceling is so stupid. You're canceled. You don't even know what the fuck it is. You're going to cancel a show or a movie, not a person. A person cannot be canceled. It's dumb.
I'm cool with kicking their ass. I think that should. I think that should happen. Like the Attorney General in a boxing match. Dave Mustaine, you canceled, motherfucker.
Yeah, Dave Mustaine kicking your ass while.
Yeah, won't murder. Happen. Whoever. Yeah, there you go. He wins every fight. So there you go. Oh man. Oh. Altogether, how would you describe his voice? It's not raspy.
It's very unique, that's for sure. Like, you know it's him when you hear that growl, and then he just breaks straight into the song. And when you hear the familiar guitar, you know it's Megadeth. When you hear the drums, you know it's Megadeth. when you hear the bass, you know it's Megadeth coming on. But I don't know, his voice is so iconic. It's not raspy.
Yeah.
It's more like a building.
A dramatic growl. Shatner type pause here, ladies and gents. Sorry. Yeah.
It's more of a build up of a growl, kind of. I guess, like, if it, I don't know. I'm thinking of like Sully Erna.
Yeah,
kind of like that. Yeah, like Godsmack, but like more seasoned. More seasoned.
And then when you look at him, you don't, you kind of just see an everyday kind of Joe. He could be anything. He could be a bartender. He could be a biker. He could be.
And he's so soft spoken, too.
He's just so wild because of what.
He's like, yeah, I'm Dave Mustaine. How are you doing? And gets all noise. I'm like, what did you just do?
Oh, man. I haven't seen him, like, team up with anybody. Usually is like, every other rock star has got, like, some groupie who's, like, some famous actress or porn star model. I think he stayed out of that. He's just, I mean, obviously he got laid. I mean, everybody all laid. Got drunk.
Yeah, laid, drugs, booze. And now everybody's clean as a whistle and a Christian.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that yet. A beautiful faith movie.
No, God!
God's not dead, 4,000.
This is Left Behind with Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine versus Kirk Cameron. That would be funny if he played like a serial killer or a devil in something. I haven't. He probably doesn't want to do any acting. He's just like, fuck that. I'm not doing the Alice Cooper thing where I show up as someone's dad or the devil.
Jesus.
It's an Alice Cooper thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Any other just recollections or just funny sightings of him? It seems like, I guess they do conventions or something. But...
I'm not sure. Like, not off the top of my head that I know of. I mean, most conventions you get, you know, your big names, and then you have the surprise guests, and then you have the ones that are just there.
That don't want to be there, like Tom Savini. Still want my $40 back, motherfucker. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I mean, I salute him. I don't know. Let's see. Has he gone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think they were inducted yet. That'll be a while. At least they're not like Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Fucking Axl. Put that camcorder down! Put it down! I said, put it fucking down! Jumps at the motherfucker. Really? Oh, you asshole.
Technically, I guess you could say they've already won since Metallica won.
Yeah.
I do find it ironic. Anyway, because why are you inducting all these pop artists and rap stars in, and why are you saying the Monkees don't deserve? They totally deserve it.
I'm actually surprised Dave has not done a duet with Amy Lee.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been with one of those newer new metal bands, but I guess I don't know if he didn't want any part of that or just said, fuck it, I'm just going to focus on me. I think the 2002 medical emergency he had kind of put a bind on things for a while. Just trucking along. Just needed a last minute surgery. It's like, man.
Oh yeah, because he had what was it, throat issues,
some shit like that, and that might be partially why he's well spoken. But yeah, I mean, I have nothing but respect for them. I don't care if they have a shitty album. I got no. I've listened to so many of the new ones, and I don't mind this new one, even though, like you say, if you were to play it back nonstop, some of them are going to be just one-time only deals. But I'm just like, hey, they're working. They've earned the respect. They could say some fucked up political comment at this point, and I just wouldn't care. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
Compared to others where it's like, ah, oh, sell out. Oh, dickhead.
And the funny thing is that most of the people will, toxicity fuckers, will latch on to the political shit and be like, this is what they're all about. They're not about anything else. I'm like, dude, learn to separate person from music.
God. Yeah, The Who and Van Halen, Lynyrd Skynyrd, they can say whatever they want. They're music icons, so. We can find out more shocking shit about, I don't know, John Lennon. It won't change the fact that many people like the Beatles.
Dude, I fucking hate Imagine. I hate that guy. Every goddamn New Year's. Oh, let's sing Imagine again. Because we're having a bad year and this will make us all feel better. Really? Really? You want to start a shitty year off with Imagine? You want to end a year and start another shitty year?
I can only imagine. Oh, wait. Wrong song.
And it's always, it's so dumb. Here to sing Imagine is so-and-so. Nobody fucking cares.
It puts me at peace. But it's also way the fuck overplayed, like you say. So
it's like that and Mariah Carey every fucking Ooh. Christmas. Like, oh, fuck that.
Well, Christmas is a corporate holiday, so they saw that long time ago.
All I want for Christmas, fuck you, bitch. I want you to shut up on the radio. That's what I want.
And I want you guys to not be playing Christmas music like.
In September.
Yeah. And I worked at a Big Lot, so I already saw how they were getting all the stuff ready, you know, before it was even time. So I was like,
yeah, Walmart's got fucking Nightmare Before Christmas shit out.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
Fucking sellouts.
And they still don't have no goddamn toys in stock, fuckers.
What toys are you buying? Rockstar toys, wrestler toys, what do you buy?
No, the DC multiverse shit, the new stuff. None of it's out. None of it's in stock.
Probably because it sucks. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Hot take.
I mean, some of them molds, man, they look horrible. But then again, some are really fucking good. Like, I went to a toy store called Attorney of Dreams near me. And they had all of the new Black Adam stuff in stock. I'm like, perfect. And I looked, I was like, oh, finally, I can get what I wanted. It's like, damn. It's frustrating.
Oreo's got it on, though, man. You got it going on.
I hate it. It's so frustrating trying to find one fucking thing. And the store don't have it in stock, but they have all this other shit.
Or... Yeah, you offer it online, and it's supposed to be giving you a discount, but some shit, it's actually funnier. It's better to buy it in store versus online, even though online you can get free shipping.
Yep.
Choose carefully, in my friends.
Mm-hmm. They like Megadeth's album covers. They are fucking awesome.
They are so awesome, especially that 2004 one with the guy almost freaking Dr. Strangelove style soaring onto a missile on a bird.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll have plenty more remasters and plenty more documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
Just cool, cool cats.
Yeah.
So what do you got coming up on your YouTube show?
Well, I gotta do two movie reviews. And then got tons of fucking comics to read and review that shit.
Everyone's reading it all online nowadays. So.
Oh, fuck reading online. I hate that. There's no energy there. There's no feel there. You can't.
I got you, man. I got
me. I don't save do myself that.
Some money.
Go to the library. That's where I get all my shit from.
Nah, I don't want strangers looking over my shoulder.
I do. The thing I love is the interlibrary loan system. That is so beautiful. It gives me access to my whole state's library branches, which is 24.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
So, to close this out for the Megadeth chat, I have filmmaker and metalhead himself, Sean Wright, on here, and soon after we'll do some plugs, but we're going to collect his thoughts on where this band just overall ranks in metal music history. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Anytime. We've tried to have all kinds of just open chats and just have a party, but don't have it be to where we're the only ones having fun. We really want to leave someone with some food for thought. So,
right.
How did you get into metal music for starters? Was Megadeth one of the first, or were they just like one of the later ones that you dived into?
Megadeth were first for me.
Okay,
really
very nice. So
yeah, of course, it was in high school where I sort of started getting into metal. And I probably like Metallica and Iron Maiden were the first, though that's probably a lot of people's first. But then you started getting a little
same
deeper
circle.
In Megadeth. right. Right. And then Megadeth, the big four, that's what you gravitate towards first, right? So, Megadeth was pretty early on in my listening, and they were one of my favorites from the start. And, they're still one of my favorite bands.
Okay, very sweet. So, yeah, I had noted earlier how I was kind of late to the party, but I instantly saw, kind of like Motorhead, just the appeal, I was more often just would hear the name than actually hear actual radio play.
Right.
Did they get any radio play in your neck of the woods or?
No, you'd hear like Symphony of Destruction. That's pretty much it. But even that, like you'd barely hear that.
They're more likely to be played on college radio or a local station taking requests than corporate radio. Why do you think that is? Is it just whatever record deal or just?
Well, it's just I guess metal in general is just generally too intense for radio play.
I don't see any satanic labels or anything. It's just like what gives.
Yeah, it's just, I think they just, it's not mainstream, basically. And, you know, regular rock radio just plays what, you know, is basically popular, even in, like, rock and stuff, just what's popular, not necessarily the deep cuts, and especially not, like, heavier stuff. Even, like, you know, you don't even really hear Iron Maiden or Judas Priest on the radio that much, and that's, like, pretty tame compared to most of Megadeth stuff, really.
Okay, but very well said. Heavier. Yeah, the heavier, the more likely to not be picked up. I don't think they're even rep by one of the top record labels. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know what their label is offhand.
how would you describe their sound? Because, yeah, we were talking before, is like it's very pleasant and brutal without feeling like just angry or unorganized or raspy.
Well, Megadeth are like they're obviously a thrash metal band, so they're fast, they're heavy, but they tend to go towards them, at least on the earlier and current stuff. They sort of bear more towards the more technical side and like more like intricate solos and riffing, and not so much like just straight speed, or you know, the riffs are a little bit more, you know, technical than what some other bands in the same genre might have, you know.
Makes sense.
Towards the middle of their career, it's more like they sort of went into a more mainstream direction, and then even went a little bit more in the classic heavy metal direction in some ways, but mm-hmm. then you know they're back to like their thrash roots with the latest album for sure. And you know, I like that new album is great. I haven't heard it all the way through, but what I've heard is great.
Yeah, we were talking about that, how Sammy Hagar did a cover of one of his earlier songs, and Ice-T, you know, Body Count, you know, makes a cameo as well,
right?
As was also in one of the featured music videos, which is very clearly Predator inspired. There's a giant monster in the woods with laser pointing at the guy, and it's repetitive, but it's just fun. And I think you can definitely say, you know, just you know, have fun with it. It's kind of getting annoying how every once in a while I will see someone try and do something like a just overrated, and I'm like, have you actually heard them? It's like, if I'm gonna say someone's overrated, it better be like they're just so big in the public eye, like, and I just don't get that.
You can't really say that about Megadeth. I mean they're
underrated, if anything.
Yeah, they're underrated in the mainstream. I mean, maybe if you're like really deep in the metal, you'd be like, oh, you know, Megadeth, I'm listening to anal seepage, you know. But like, you know,
Jesus,
I mean, there's always something more obscure than something else, you know.
There's that, and I get it. There, it's hard with how toxic the internet is to even tell if anyone's being serious or if they're just shit talking just to, I don't know, make themselves amused or something. But they're right. You know, yeah,
I mean, they are in the Big Four after all, so it's not like no one's ever heard of them. But you know, it's not like, you know, like what you like.
Oh, totally. Like, and we aim to not be toxic or anything, and at the same time, just, you know, if we're gonna come into something really hot with some hot takes, we do make fair warnings. Like, okay, did not understand that, and sometimes that's the fun marketing. Is like, oh, someone hates this movie. I really love. I gotta listen to this. You might
right.
persuade me. You might make me realize it's a hunk of shit. But no, it's the other way around too. It's like, oh well, I've never liked this movie, or please tell me more. And same thing with the band. It's like, I never got into them. I thought they were overrated.
Yeah.
In this case, I mean, yeah, I have yet to see anyone just really talk shit about them. I think you're more likely to just see probably many just say that they got into them really late or don't hear them enough.
Yeah,
but you're also like one of the few who noted that they hadn't heard the new album. So, I mean, maybe there's more, but I mean, I think it is getting harder to probably keep up with half these bands.
I mean, I've heard, I just haven't listened to it all the way through.
Well, that's just it too. Like half the time, yeah. You know, with social media, we're just seeing part of a Facebook video playing in the background. And then...
Yeah, there's a lot out there. It's hard to keep up with everything. Too much stuff nowadays, just in your face. You don't know. You can't keep up with everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, all together, I mean, what do you think they just click? Is it just enough, just endless energy?
Why do they click? Well, I'd say it's, I don't know. I guess Dave Mustaine just usually, you know, surrounds himself with very good musicians all the time. That's mainly what it is, because he's always been the main driving force. So, I mean, whatever he surrounds himself with is just, you know, what it is. That's why it's such a great band.
Never ending machine trucking yep. along.
Yep. Always with like the best, you know, the best guitarist you can find.
Mm-hmm. Well, so to wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about what you got coming up. What are some of your other recent metal listens and your upcoming slasher film?
Let's see. So I am in, so as far as metal is concerned, I'm into mainly the old school stuff. Like I like thrash. I like, you know, traditional heavy metal and speed metal. I don't really get much into the death and black metal scene, but yeah, anything. I don't really keep up with newer stuff. Generally, I mostly keep to the older stuff and stuff that and new
Even
stuff
the
that
newer
sounds like
stuff
older.
Doesn't keep yeah. up with newer stuff. It's yeah. done after two and, weeks of heavy promotion.
Yeah, like I like newer stuff that sounds like the older stuff. You know what I mean? So like mm-hmm. I like bands like, you know, Enforcer, and you know, like newer bands that are playing like old school speed metal sort of deals. You know, sort of sound, that sort of stuff.
Nice.
And, you know, as for my film that's coming out, it's a full length film called Night of the Axe. It's based on my short film of the same name. It's about a, psycho killer who escapes from, his asylum, and just terrorizes the neighborhood. Eventually nice. Ending up on this, this house of, party of kids partying, and, you know, he kills them off one by one. It's real classic slasher. Lots of gore, lots of sleaze. Everything you'd want out of a classic slasher, you know?
Any giallo moments or?
Giallo moments. I didn't have yeah. as many opportunities as I would have liked to put some giallo moments, but if you like giallo, then you should hopefully enjoy this as well, because that's, you know, Italian horror is a pretty big inspiration for me. You know, in addition to like the classic, you know, American slashers, giallo and other Italian horror films are a pretty big inspiration for me.
Okay, very cool. Any other collaborations you're doing or film festivals you recommend people check out for new content?
I'm not really into the film festival scene. I just it's not against it. I just haven't really gotten into it or anything.
No, that's fine.
And plus, it's like I'm a real low budget kind of guy. You know, I don't have a lot of money to do this stuff, and festivals cost money. So, You submit to a festival. It costs money. It costs you money. You might never, you know, you might not even get selected.
And that is also while,
and while it's, I don't think it's, I don't like I said, I'm not against it. It's just not for me at this point in my career. I just kind of want to get the films out there. And hopefully, I'm hoping for Night of the Axe to be out very soon. Very soon. Hopefully, end of the month, next, early next month. That's my goal.
Okay, for sure. Because, yeah, we're all here to support other independent talents. And it just gets very maddening when, you know, I always ask up front, you know, with various indie people, is like, you know, well, how did you get past the snobbery? Because there are a lot of snobs. There are many who will do the whole, you know, well, it's not as low budget as, say, Sam Raimi. I'm like, different time, different perspective. You know, you can't compete with the indie gods. And then there's others who want it to be as big budget as Scorsese or Nolan. And it's just like, no, that's just not how this works, guys.
Right.
Have you ever made a movie, or are you just shit talking just because, again, it's easier than actually making a movie?
Definitely. It's definitely easier than making a movie. Making a movie is hard. It's not quite as hard nowadays as it could have been like 20 years ago.
Oh yeah. But how many have you had to avoid who are just like the whole old school approach? Oh, it's hackneyed. You can't film something on a digital camera or a phone. It's like, get with the times.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the technology has made everything easier in that, you know, in the filmmaking area, but it's still not easy, you know, because
it's almost like when you meet math teachers who are like, how dare you use a calculator? It's like, I suffered, so therefore you have to too. I'm just like, how cynical can you be?
Right, yeah.
Almost like if you were fighting a war differently. I hate to use that analogy because I'm anti-war, but I just mean just like, it's like, I was in the trenches, so therefore you got to starve in them too. I'm like, no, how about we make everyone's life easier?
Right, just do a couple of drone strikes, you'll be all right.
Boom. Yeah, I'll have it on my conscience, but at least it'll be from afar. Right. A different type of desensitization and brainwashing. And it's interesting seeing how there's different ways to distribute a film now, and it's not as easy as it used to be. Amazon stopped doing it about a few months ago, and it seems like, you know, Tubi and other people are now taking over the new formats. Everyone's basically stealing each other's format. Just like old networking things. It used to be, I want to be the first guy out of the line work. And then now it's just like, well, can I take your formula and do it better? You know?
Right. We've got
all these streaming formulas that are trying to be the next Ray Donovan, Yellowstone, or Breaking Bad. And it's like, well, or you can pay a tribute to even these older shows, or you can bring a popular show back. And now, you know, with movies, people are just, again, tired of the oversaturated big budget shit, and they want something new too. So
yeah, and then the you know, the indies are always there behind the big budget stuff.
Yeah, it's getting harder because you don't know how at the time if, you know, marketing companies are screwing it up in terms of, you know, the posters, you know, till it's too late,
right?
I'm
very DIY. I'm very DIY when it comes to this sort of thing. I, you know, I'm handling pretty much everything by myself. So.
Oh, totally. That's why I switched to podcasting. I was getting so annoyed having to work with people who were not doing the first free things, you know, come up with a contract, you know, make a plan, make a distribution plan. And they were just, you know, I had to get pickier, especially if I wasn't sure if they were following, you know, COVID procedures or not. Has that been a issue for you?
No, not really. That hasn't really been much of an issue.
Okay, perfect. Because, you know, I don't ask anything other than that, you know, it's like, hey, let's not, you know, let's acknowledge each other, but let's not start hugging, you know? Oh, man. Altogether, with distribution, are you aiming for just something like, say, maybe other alternate streaming sites, or
Well, I was going to try to get an Indiegogo together to do a physical release. But for streaming, I was probably going to do something to start with, something so I can, something I can make up money off of, first of all. Totally. So I have to look into it a little bit more, but stuff like Amazon, like where you, like it's, you can buy it or rent it, or another service like that where you can do like stream it for rental, for renting and buying and stuff. But then, eventually I will probably put it on like Tubi or something like that.
Okay. Very cool.
Cause Tubi's a great resource for indie people. Cause it's, accept pretty much any film.
They have something for everybody. They have new stuff, yeah. Old stuff, and they know how to balance it out and promote it, so they can actually remind you, hey, it is on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of indie stuff, and there's a lot of older horror films as well, and other films that you might not you might not see on other bigger streaming sites, because there's sort of like more obscure, low budget sort of stuff that is still interesting. Horror, action, all kinds of stuff. And it's free, Tubi, so I mean, if you don't mind putting up with the ads.
Totally. Altogether, how are other parts of the market changing? Are you just noticing just how everyone's kind of getting antsy, kind of like with indie music?
I'm not really a great person to ask about the market, because okay. I'm pretty self-contained. You know, I see stuff, I see other movies and stuff, but I don't know like all the details about the inner workings of everyone else's, everyone's stuff, you know. I'm pretty self-contained. I just kind of want to put my stuff out there, you know.
Well, what's a good way to also kind of remind people to be patient? I know I have to do this with the podcast at times. I'm like, hey, guys, I have not forgotten about you, but we're recording ahead of time.
Right.
You want to explain to 20 other people why your episode came first before theirs, you know, just chill.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this film has been in production for like 3 years now at this point because of various delays. I was hoping to have it out, you know, last year, but a lot of delays, you know, getting things filmed with my former composer, stuff like that.
It's a good way to remind people that it is coming along and show them progress to regain their trust.
Right.
Well, what is your formula? There's some people who can't, yeah, like to just show is like, hey, I'm not blowing you off, I'm not unorganized, but I got this delay and we're waiting on this, because some can be patient all day and there's others who can't tell the difference between, you know, professionals versus the ones who are serious but had a
right
unexpected delay. What's your way of
you just have to be honest. That's all there is to it. Just be honest, be like, well, this, I got delayed here, you know, you know, having trouble with the music or whatnot. You just be honest, and you know, if they are impatient, well, that's tough. I mean, there's not much you can really do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Seems like it's easier with a feature versus a short film where they want instant feedback. And it's like, well, short's a totally different marketing. It's not a movie where I can just put it in a theater for a few weeks.
Yeah, shorts are definitely easier. I have two of those out. The aforementioned Night of the Axe short film version, and then Spirit Board, Doorway to Death.
Right. Seeing what works as a short versus what works as a feature, and what detail to add and what's still excessive and just doesn't work at 90 minutes.
Right.
Were you always a big horror guy, or did you kind of get into it a little late?
I wasn't into too late. You know, when I was younger, I always was into like creepy things, spooky things.
Okay, cool.
And then it sort of progressed naturally to the point where I like, you know, gory horror movies. You know, like cool monsters, interesting special effects, all kinds of just like the more gruesome the better, mostly.
Okay, you know? Very cool.
Of course, I love, you know, the classics too, the Universal Monsters, all that stuff. But I just, you know, when it comes to horror, my wheelhouse is strictly like the sort of 80s special effects extravaganzas, you know?
Perfect.
Originally, Evil Dead's one of my favorites.
It's good to know. Very cool. Any other pointers for those just getting into this and just reminding them, hey, you know, you can do it alone. You can do it with whatever your limited budget is on the weekends when you got free time.
Yeah, that's all that's really what you said is really all there is to it. Just, you can do it. Just do it. Like, if you really want to do it, you know, don't bankrupt yourself. But if you can, you know, put the effort into it and you really want it, you should just get out there and do it. And if it's just a short film, you know, do what you want, because you never know where it can take you.
Oh,
if you, it's good to know. You just do it for fun. If you just do it for fun.
It's a tough one. It's like even organizing the fun. It's like sometimes you got to remind everyone, it's like you'll have fun later when you see what's on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Any final factor for just reminding everyone, hey, this might take all day. And it's worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. I mean, with all your blood, sweat, and tears is will be worth it once you see your final product on the screen. You know, even if you're not super thrilled about what you put out, even if you watch it like, man, this sucks. Someone will be like, someone else will be like, man, that was awesome. That was the best thing I ever saw.
Yeah, it is getting annoying seeing some people want to instantly like back a filmmaker, and it's like, well, you don't have to necessarily agree with them. Maybe they're too close to it, so they'll say anything. Like, I disown this, or I love it, but the distributor made an edit that I don't agree with, so therefore I'm an Alan Smithy, you know, and you don't know. And it is annoying seeing everyone kind of pull a Stephen King, Clive Barker type fan group where, well, so-and-so disowned it, so I must too. I'm like, or maybe you can, you know, I've interviewed indie filmmakers on here who are like, oh, well, thanks for the feedback. Glad I entertained you. I just don't like that movie. I mean, yeah, it does get annoying having to just kind of explain to everyone, just there's still this thing called independent thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
There was a few projects I was a part of that everyone was really excited about, and I was just so annoyed at just the awful experience of like unprofessional cinematographers and actors, to where I was like, if we do this again, we better rework it so much to, you know, wipe the smear, you know, that left.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, it's a fine concept. It's just the behind the scenes was just chaotic. And it's like, I'm so sorry it went south that way. It's just bad.
I've been fairly lucky with my behind the scenes crew. I haven't really had many issues with that. It's mostly been a pretty fun time working with people. You know, sometimes there's a little stress here and there, but it's usually pretty, you know, it was always pretty calm on my sets for the most part. We were just there to have fun. Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen eventually. I'll have some crazy set with lots of drama, but hopefully that's not anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. And all the sides are getting desperate. They're trying to, even if they're not necessarily trying to help out the little guy, they are looking for new content. So it's getting easier and easier to send in a screener.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.